Matthew Bundock. This recording is part of the oral history project carried out by the Suffolk Horse Society in 2013 with advice from Cambridge Community Heritage and a generous grant from the Heritage Lotteries Fund. In the recording you will hear the voice of Mr. Matt Bundock describing his memories of the Suffolk Punch Heavy Horse. Matt is the current head horseman at Banham Zoo. The recording was made by Juliet Pennell, who was a member of the Suffolk Horse Society. The date of the recording was the 18th of July 2013, and it was carried out at Banham Zoo. The duration of the recording is about 12 minutes.
This is Juliet Pennell interviewing Matt Bundock on Thursday, the 18th of July 2013. For Working Horses, Working Lives, sharing our stories of the Suffolk Punch.
Hi, I'm Matthew Bundock. I'm the head horseman at Banham Zoo, and I've been here since January 1996, where I started off as just a horseman. I was all by myself then. We had one Suffolk mare, one Shire mare, and two Shire geldings. But since then, we've progressed now to 13 Suffolks. We've got one stallion, which is our own stallion, which is homebred. We've got three mares, one foal, a yearling, and the rest are made up of geldings of average ages and different sort of stages of being worked.
And was when you joined the zoo, was that your first experience of heavy horses, or had you had some experience before?
No, not at all. I'm the fifth generation of my family now working with heavy horses. My father was a horseman for Whitbread's Brewery and is also a farrier, specialised in heavy horses. Not so much now, it was his 70th birthday yesterday, so he slowed down on the heavy side a bit now, although he still comes to the shows and such. But I worked on a farm in Essex, a place called Coringham Hall, for the late J.A. Young, who was a renowned Percheron and Shire breeder. Although there was two Suffolks on the farm who were owned by a chap called Dennis Hayter, who's still got Suffolks in Essex. I was sort of brought up with it ever since I could climb the garden gate, really. I've sort of been around horses. One of the first recollections was a big Percheron gelding called Samba, and I was about 6-7 years old, and my first job was leading up and down the rows when they was hoeing beans.
Oh, and that's obviously a job that's sort of now gone into history, really.
Yes, yes. Sadly, there isn't farm-wise on a big scale. It's not practical or feasible anymore. But on a small scale, we used to have about 200 acres in Essex. We used to grow a lot of market garden stuff, such as peas and beans and spring green and that sort of thing. And we used to use all the horses for what we called the top land for the market garden stuff, and then we only had a couple of old tractors which were pretty much relics, which we used on the marshes for doing the cereal crops.
Wow. And in the zoo, what do you do? I mean, the horses obviously do some work within the zoo and they go out and about beyond the zoo. I mean, can you tell us a bit about what they do within the zoo first of all, and then sort of, and what else outside of the zoo?
Yeah, well, within the zoo, we give dray rides to our visitors when they come to the zoo. We predominantly do them on Sundays and school holidays when we're at a sort of peak, so to speak. We usually give dray rides, depending on demand, for usually around 2 hours. But if we've got a particularly busy day with a lot of visitors through, we go on for an extra hour or two. But as I say, it just depends on the demand of that. We also do weddings within the zoo. The zoo has got a marriage licence now, so if anybody wants to get married at the zoo, you can get married within the grounds of the zoo. And we use the horses for carting the bride and the groom, and sometimes the wedding guests around the zoo to the reception. So that's sort of what we do within the zoo more. Out of the zoo, we do all sorts of different things. It's very wide and varied. Again, lots of weddings and that sort of thing. We also do lots of shows and promotions. The show side of it is to obviously promote Banham Zoo. When I first started here, we sort of stuck really to the agricultural turnout. At that time, it was a pair of Shires, and then we got a Suffolk gelding called Prince, and then another Suffolk gelding called Sandy. So we was doing, at one point, sort of in about 1998, we was going to the county show, Suffolk show, Norfolk show, Royal show, Yorkshire show, and doing two singles, one Suffolk, one Shire, and the same with the pairs, one a pair of Suffolks, one pair of Shires. So keep me very busy in that ring, as well as the in-hand job as well. So that sort of has now progressed on with demand and publicity and that. We do the trade turnout, and I'm sure that people would have seen our show Dre out and about the county shows.
And in promoting the zoo, of course, it's also wonderful for promoting the Suffolk, because you're taking the Suffolk.
Yeah, the Suffolk is always very, very well received. We went up to Bakewell show first time about 9 years ago, and they hadn't had a Suffolk punch at that particular show for about 80 years. And the amount of people who had never seen the Suffolk before, only in a book, and they were very, very well received. And it's very nice for us as a zoo, and just us personally, for people to be so appreciative of seeing the breed come out. That's very rewarding in itself, and it's always a bonus if you do well at the show when you're there.
Yeah. And you've been all over the country showing, Bakewell, you've been a lot further north.
Yes, yeah, we've been up to the Royal Highland in 2007. We went up to the Royal Highland in Edinburgh, and also in 2007 we went down south to the Devon County show. So we've been sort of everywhere, really. We've been over to Northern Ireland, done the Ulster Plowry match, and sort of all over the place.
All over. And you mentioned, you've done some work with Shires and Percherons. Do you notice differences between the breeds when you're working them or when you're showing them?
Definitely. The Shires are definitely the Hoover of the heavy horse world, as everybody knows. Hoover's a very well-known name, and everybody looks at a heavy horse and thinks he's a Shire, although the Suffolks aren't a Shire, and neither are the Percherons nor the Clydesdale. But it's people's impression that every heavy horse is a Shire horse. So that's one of the nice things, is that we get to educate people about the differences between the four breeds. And also, the Shires are a lot more flashy for the show job. That's why they're sort of predominantly used in the breweries and for publicity work and show work. So they've just got a little bit with the four white legs in a nice dark colour. They are a bit more impressive, over 18 hands, and they move a lot freer. The Suffolks are predominantly agricultural horses and sort of designed and built to walk. So going out, it goes out of their comfort zone just a little bit when they're in the trot. Although I've got a pair of Suffolk geldings at the moment I've been showing for the past couple of years in the trade turnout, and we've been holding our own with the Shires and the Clydesdales and the Percherons. So, we're getting there slowly, but... Yeah, the Suffolks are different, a totally different breed to the other three.
The other three, and in temperament and personality?
Yeah, the Suffolks have a lot more personality, and I'd say they're a lot more strong-willed than what the Shires and the Clydesdales are. The Percherons and the Suffolks have got more of a sulking gene, shall we say, but once they've got over themselves and you've worked sort of what buttons to press with them, because they're all individuals, they're all good horses. They just take a little bit more longer to work out than what a Shire or Clydesdale would.
And obviously at the zoo, you also, in addition to all the showing and the trade turnouts, you're also breeding as well. You're standing a stallion here at the zoo, and you've got mares and foals.
Yeah, we've got our own stallion this year. He's a two-year-old. He was licensed back in February. He's called Bazoo. We name our horses with a different letter of the alphabet each year, and 2 years ago it was the letter X. So, and our prefix is Bazoo, so we went for Zoo. This year we've had a colt foal. Last year we had a colt foal as well when he was York. And this year we've got a colt foal and he's called Z, after our new charity, which is the Zoological Society of East Anglia. So he's Bazoo Z and Bazoo Zoo. So in a couple of years when they start working as geldings, that's going to be quite a mouthful to get round.
And how do the horses react to sort of living and working within the zoo, to the zoo animals and what there is out and about in the zoo?
They all have their own characters, and we're quite lucky. It's only really the ones that we buy in we have any anxiety about, because the others are born to it. Within 2 weeks of being born, they're put in the zoo on exhibition to the public, so the public love to see a mare and foal, and we love to show them our mares and foals and show them what good work we're doing. So the foals are generally sort of brought up with that. They'll come out to be weaned at about 8-9 months old, and then they'll stay down the other stables, and probably until they're sort of 18 months old, and then they go back into the zoo and come out at sort of 2 years old, go in for the summer, and then they'll be brought into work gradually and sort of put back in the zoo again. So they're always sort of dipped in and out of the zoo, so they're sort of getting used to people and pushchairs and kids and umbrellas and all the smells and the noises of the zoo. So yeah, but you know, when you have a horse which isn't known in that environment, especially when we first started, before we started breeding our own stock so much, and that we sort of buy horses in, it'd be the first few laps around early in the morning before the public got about would be a little bit touch and go, you know, sort of like sort of suck it and see, and just see how they're going to react with going driving past tigers and leopards and cheetahs. And it's not so much the sight of those, because they're blinking up and that, and we sort of try and shield them as much as we can from it. It's the smell and the noises of it, and you've got sort of gibbons and siamangs and that sort of thing jumping up the wire, squawking at them. It's not something a horse gets to see every day, unless you obviously live at Bannum Zoo.
It's an amazing part of their education, really, being within the zoo.
Absolutely, yeah, and amazing part of my education when I first started here. I've been working horses on the farm, so totally different to me as well. I must admit, you know, the first few times I drove around the zoo, because we used to give dray rides from the centre of the zoo, then we're on the outskirts now, we just go past the tigers and the leopards and the cheetahs and the giraffes and the zebras. But yeah, when I first started, we used to go rides right from the middle of the zoo, so you was right in the thick of it. You had the monkeys and the camels and the tigers and llamas and everything. You had to go through the lot. There was no sort of escape route, so to speak.
Well, it's wonderful to think of the Suffolks coping with it all and just getting used to it. But Matt, thank you very much for talking about your work with the Suffolks. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about working with them, either at the zoo or beforehand, before you came to the zoo? Anything? Any early experiences of heavy horses that?
Yeah, the only early experience, as I say, was when I was at Jim Young's, when I left school at 15. Because I've never been the most academic of people, but always sort of got on with livestock and been practical in the workshop and sort of make something out of a bit of metal or repair it. So I sort of went on the farm as a natural progression for me. I wanted to be a builder before I left school, but then we had a recession, so I couldn't get an apprenticeship. So the only other thing I knew was working on the farm. So that's what I did. And unfortunately for me, in 1995, the chap I worked for, Jim Young, unfortunately passed away. So as I say, one door shuts, another one opens, and luckily enough, Martin Goyman, the director of Bannum Zoo, offered me the job as horseman at Bannum. So that was 18 years ago, and as I say, the rest is history.
Matt, thank you very much indeed for telling us about it.